to 17.6. Resolution 25-454, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin. It resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby received report amend-2025-19 regarding winter maintenance on unassumed township-owned roads from Clerk Administrator Carly Britton, in addition to the roads report from intact public entities and the legal opinion provided by Jennifer Bigger from Russell Christie LLP for information purpose. Discussion? I have a few points on this one. I'll open it up to Council first.
Go ahead.
Okay, just for clarification, and I'll just go through the way this is. We'll start with the report itself rather than the document. Under background, the Council has passed yearly resolutions approving winter maintenance on certain unassumed township-owned roads. Then there's some listed down below. Some roads are summer maintained by the township. Not sure, but I don't know if you listed all of them or where they were meant to, because Moffett Road's not in there. And I noticed that Fire Route 200, which is on our list, is not in there. But maybe it's just samples you get, so that's fine. Most of the aforementioned roads do not meet township standards. Maybe we should add there for year-round maintenance, because otherwise, what are our standards for summer maintained roads? Do we have them? We used to have for cottage roads, but that's long gone. And the thing I'm noticing as I went back through resolutions two of these subdivisions, this is why I'm going to be recommending that we have maybe get the solicitor's opinion on it, how we can do it, an all-encompassing bylaw that covers all of the roads that we're now maintaining on a year-round basis. Not the unassumed ones, but the others, because many of the original subdivision agreements said that the township will assume for summer maintenance only, even on the big subdivisions like Maplewood and Smith Pine. Those are only, and I don't think there's ever been a bylaw since saying that year-round maintenance. It's just summer maintenance if you go over the actual legislation. So I'm thinking we should, and one councillor noted that years back, but I don't know if anything was ever done on it, so I think we should clarify. I don't know if you could do one bylaw that would cover them all. If you list the roads, I think you could, just to make sure that that supersedes what's on the records. Mm-hmm. Because I know what happened in the past, and I don't know if they followed all the legalese, but people would move in further in. I think in Maplewood as an example, it was done in sections. People would move in further, and the township, through a resolution, would say, yes, we'll plow that and go back further, but not necessarily always passing a bylaw to do that. So it's been done, but it doesn't show in the records that way. And that's why you run into some problems. I think of Jones's Road as an example. Part of it, I can't find the legislation. I'll have to look for the bylaws. It's done in so far as a year-round maintained road. And then the last part that we've been doing through Schedule A is summer maintained. But whether there's any resolution making the distinction or any bylaw making the distinction, that's where somebody has to go back through all the records and I'm not putting that on staff, but
I think it'd have to be rescind all previous.
I'm thinking maybe. Yeah.
because it's lost somewhere.
That's right.
Yeah, well, you can do that, can't you? Can't you word it like that, to rescind the previous and...
I think that's why we need the solicitor involved, I think, to do it.
You usually rescind because you know the bylaw
number. Yeah, and
you
say the number, right?
You know, if we put numbers, we might be missing some, so it's almost like, yeah, all previous.
That are contrary to. I mean, that's all.
Yeah.
You're covered.
That's right. So, yeah, if we're going to proceed down that road...
As part of the summary, this I'll come up there later, to the caveat for the legal authority, roads must be verified as truly unassumed through regulatory review. And that's where you have to, especially with the summer maintained ones, as I said, they were actually, yes, summer maintained and the signage posted, but they were assumed just for summer maintenance. Anyway, get into the report. insurance, so that we made sure what they were saying. And the lawyers are very good at, this is what you advised me to do, so that if I give you false information, you're at fault. I'm looking at the Russell Christie one. This is their first page. At the bottom, this is where I want a clarification. For the roads that are summer maintained by the township, you have advised, I'm not saying that you did, that this is also an informal arrangement which would have been approved by resolution in or around 2009. I think this is where we have to differentiate. The summer maintained roads go back 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Well, probably even further than that. The resolution itself that we come up with in 2009 just referred to the roads that were going to be winter maintained for 1 year, and then that was repeated year after year. It didn't have anything to do whether it was a summer maintained, although in the resolution lately we've been putting down it accesses from a summer maintained road, or it could be on a summer maintained, but the resolution itself doesn't determine whether those roads were assumed as a summer maintenance or as a year-round maintenance. That resolution doesn't deal with that. So the 2009 resolution just looks at which ones we're going to actually winter maintain. Some of the summer ones that we're doing may have been assumed, this is a long, long time ago. And this is why we want to clarify with the solicitor, and I think she's concerned with that too, that we need verification. We may be in a situation if they've never been assumed, even the summer maintained, if it was never done by bylaw, then we may be maintaining an unassumed road because it was never assumed properly. And that's why I want to get it all clarified before this term of council is over, that we've got all roads covered. And there was a section in there, too, making the statement, I guess, had it side by side, unassumed and unopened. That's at the top of page 5. I think there's a distinction we have to make. Unassumed doesn't necessarily mean that it's unopened. I mean, if people are accessing it and using it in that, it must have been opened at some point by the subdivider. It just hasn't been assumed yet by the township, but it is open in one sense. So I'm just not sure we can use those two synonymously, unassumed and unopened. Because I always look at the road allowances that we have as unopened are those that they surveyed, you know, back in the 1800s. Those are the unopened road allowances. If there's an actual road people are accessing, I wouldn't say that's an unopened road allowance. It has been opened somehow. So it's just a matter of who opened it and who assumed it. And it may have been the subdivider, the developer at the time. But I just want a clarification from her that, you know, we are going to be doing some research. We won't have her do it because I couldn't afford that. But I think we do have to go back and check records. And I think in many cases we'll find that there aren't bylaws that cover everything that we've been doing. So we've been doing winter maintenance, say councils previously, as it's required, as people expect, but it wasn't necessarily always followed up with a bylaw to do that.
Just out of curiosity, logistically, Carly, to find out if a road is assumed or think it's assumed, what are we looking for and where are we looking for it?
First I start looking at the bylaws, so we have an index, so I'll search the road name and then go to the physical bylaw book to see.
Okay.
Some of them you can find, some of them you can't. So, but if you can't find it, was it done a different way? Because prior to 2001, you didn't need a bylaw to assume a road, so it could have been done some other way. So it's sometimes a bit of a investigation. It's just looking through records.
Especially if you go back 100 years.
Yes.
Well, it was right in the Municipal Act for years that if you did any work on it at all, municipality, then you own it.
Mm-hmm.
You've assumed it. And then they changed that legislation. I think municipalities were getting a little concerned. And so, as Carly said, prior to a certain day, it was 2003, 2001, somewhere there, then situation now where you need the actual bylaw. I see on page 3, this is in the third paragraph, this is our one clarification again from the solicitor. She's saying if a public highway has not been, this is awkward, has not been unassumed, I'm not sure what she means by that, but then she calls them an unopened road allowance. And I just wanted a clarification from her. I'm not sure she's going to, as soon as you assume it, then or as soon as you open it, then you have more obligations, she's saying, under section 44. Just down below that as well. She references, like, to read the, I don't want to read the whole sentence, but said, which are roads which have been assumed for public use maintenance and which are therefore open roads, but for which the municipalities have made a policy decision to only maintain during a certain part of the year, usually the summer months. And this is where it gets more complicated. And I think in the past, we did have the summer maintained roads labeled. There were signs up. People should realize that. But I guess we're to the situation now. A lot of work was done during the summer there. Maybe they're in condition now that they could be taken over year-round. The problem you run into, of course, if you suddenly, and that's why we put it in the resolution, that a summer maintained road doesn't have to be become a year-round maintained road. The council has to say on that. And they would determine whether it meets the standards requirements for a year-round. But some of our summer maintained now are morphing into year-round because of the resolution we've had in place. And so Fox Farm, for instance, we're in a situation now, we're going right down to Watkins, we've almost covered the full extent of that summer maintained, which we've been putting maintenance on in the summer, and now we're doing winter maintenance. It's not a big step, except for that hill, to have people come forward again and say that, well, then, why isn't this a bylaw that is maintained year-round? And what you have to question is there are the people who use it then, because anything we want to upgrade according to our policy is that those people are going to be responsible for the upgrading. And does the township want to get into a situation where they start doing the upgrading without putting a bill out to the people who are going to use it the most? It can be done, certainly. You can do any kind of road improvement, but who pays the bill? There's another point on page 4. Even she admits that it gets confusing when you get into the summer maintenance. It says, this is under the second paragraph on 4. There appears to be room for the municipalities to make policy choices concerning the level of winter maintenance that will be provided to certain roads. In other words, seasonally maintained roads. At this point, we're not aware of any case law where seasonally maintained road policies have been raised as a defense and tested under subsection 3 in the courts. So I think we're still all right as far as the summer maintained. And then there's a reference to the bottom of 4, just above number 3 in that paragraph. The policy should be formalized through a bylaw. As previously noted, seasonally maintained road policies would apply to assumed roads under Section 44 of the Act. Given the implications of such a policy, a comprehensive discussion of best practices and legal considerations related to seasonal road maintenance for assumed roads is essential prior to actually just going out and doing it. But as I say, that distinction between seasonally maintained and year-round maintained is disappearing year by year, and they put so much work into certain roads. I'm thinking the leap back to Brownlee Road. West Road was certainly not up to any standard, but they put a lot of money into fixing those roads. And even Fox Farm, over one point, quite a few years back, they repaired the ditching and all the way back there to the hill anyway. And there is the question then, would that work? And even Ford's Road, not that I think of it even, put a lot of work into that one too, but I'm not sure what the reasoning was there. At what point do we continue to make the distinction between summer maintained and year-round maintained? I'm not sure whether it's a decision this council wants to make, but we, even in our inventory of roads, if you recall, as part of our bylaw, they are differentiated, so we have to look at the actual distinction, and do we want to do anything about that distinction or keep it the way it is? Because I'm not sure all of the seasonally maintained. We have people come here out of Jones's Road, if you recall, reminded them that the part that they're living on is actually summer maintained only. And they weren't aware of that. They just thought that it was plowed right into their place and year-round maintenance. And that might be the interpretation by a lot of people. So I think we should start and make sure that they're actually signed, the summer maintained sections. I'm not sure they all are. So that would be confusing to the public. Points here on page 5. This is something that Carly and Harry said we're going to do. With respect to the specific township roads in question, especially where the township is currently providing summer maintenance, prior to changing any maintenance activities, should conduct a review of the township's records to make sure that there's been no assumption of these roads. Well, I think most of them have been assumed for summer. Again, we have to check into that. I don't think it would be done. It was a resolution back, I think it was in the 60s, as I checked back through. They had a list of all different roads, which were now, many of them were plowing regularly, a list of many different roads which were not to be plowed. And they actually outlined them and said that there's no municipal plow going on those roads. And as I say, I think that's changed over the years because of the level of the service, the road, the nature of the road itself. But we have to look at what certain people pay. If it's a road that doesn't lead into a particular subdivision, I think it's a little more difficult to have repairs in a certain area pay for that. I think it's more of a, probably a township concern. Subdivisions are a little different. Page 5, the bottom. There's a recommendation where private maintenance, municipally owned road is permitted. Municipality enters a license agreement with the persons wishing to construct for and maintain the road. And usually what we end up doing is 5126 that we talked about before, the township is not responsible for it. You get into an agreement, like the Fox Farm Road is a good example when they extended it out to the other cottages. We did have an agreement and it talked about the liability. They had to do any actual developers themselves, liability coverage while they were actually preparing the road, putting that road in. And since then, I think I'm not sure how the maintenance works with the people in there and who's paying what, but they must have an agreement, I would assume, because more people are coming in and using that too as a separate property. But I think that has to be straightened out, certainly. We tried that with our docks, if you recall, on Lakeshore. All of the docks that are on public property. And we tried to get a waiver through the same solicitor, and that didn't work out too well. It's the same sort of thing here on private roads. I think the 5126, rather than coming up with a formal agreement, who's responsible for what? Because obviously you run a risk if you're letting individuals work on maintaining a publicly owned road. You're not sure what maintenance they're putting on it or who's going to get hurt or whatever. And she thinks there should be an agreement that they're the ones responsible. We had it happen in Gray Owl. I'm not sure where they're plowing at this point. I'll be going up and checking this winter. One person actually extended the area on his own and did a turnaround and everything. It was all on township property, but we weren't actually plowing that far. And I think, I'll have to have that confirmed, the road crew is now going in where this person did it on his own, and they're now plowing in that far. So this is where we have to be, first of all, aware, I guess, of which roads are being plowed and where the plows are turning. We need that information from the public works superintendent. And we have to ensure that if anybody is working on public property on those roads, that we have some kind of an agreement or at least cover that while they're out there, I mean, if somebody else in the public came along and they ran into a person driving a car along there, they're not doing public maintenance sanctioned by the township. They're doing it on their own. I mentioned before the with the ATV policy that came up. This is in Craigmore. And quite valid, the people in there said that, well, we know this is an unassumed road. That was years back. And you've now created an ATV bylaw. You can have people up and down the ATV. we're doing the summer maintenance on it. They might be ruining the road. Township has no responsibility. We end up being responsible. And I think the ATV covers all of the township roads. But that is a consideration on the unassumed roads. Should the private people be doing work on the unassumed roads without an agreement? She's quite concerned about that. Anyway, that was the solicitor. I don't want to keep you here, but I'm just looking at the policy for the insurance, too. Now, this is on page 6. Just above 3.2. And I think this is sort of a given, but we're going to do it anyway. The township may want to consider reviewing historical subdivision agreements to verify that the provision for who bears responsibility for completing paying for road upgrades. The problem we run into, as I say, over time, things change, but they're never really documented. You look at the original agreement for Tate's Island, and it was only summer buildings allowed in there. You couldn't do it. They had a, wasn't a caveat, what do they call it?
Covenant.
Covenant, that's it. And I don't think that thing's ever been removed. Anybody buying property in there, they'd probably have to look at that again. Or maybe it's disappeared over the years, I don't know. But all these regulations that were put in place at the time, sure you can develop, but only for summer. We're not coming in the winter to do it. Suddenly, or over time, I guess, they became winter maintained. And people began to break the rules. I'm just saying, if the rules are broken, maybe the old rules don't apply anymore. We should make sure that we're covered. It's good for those people. It's, I mean, obviously that's what people want, even when they purchase. And if it's a summer maintained, they realize that over time that, well, it may become winter maintained. This is what they hope for. And you can't blame them for that. But we have to look again. That's why it's in the resolution that the cost feasibility, and you have to do a cost-benefit analysis.
I think what's been happening, Dave, is over the 30 or 50 years or whatever, what's been happening, a lot of these roads that were never meant to be year-round roads, township crews have gone out because maybe they have a friend on that road or whatever reason, been requested, and they just slowly improve it through the years to the point where, well, now can we get a plow truck on it? So that's kind of what's caused it, the improvements, and that's great for the township that they are slowly, and you mentioned something like Ford's Road. I don't know if there's ever been much direction or budget to put work into that road, but if the guys have a day off and they want to keep busy, that's wonderful, you know. So I think overall it's worked out well. A lot of these roads have slowly been upgraded, but now it's getting to a point where it's creating what you're talking about here now. So some teetering on the edge, well, maybe the township should just assume it totally, you know, kind of thing. And whether you try to, I don't know if we would ever resolve all of the roads in the township or whether there's going to have to be dealt with as they come up individually. It'd be not the ultimate goal. It would be to have something cover them all, but it sounds to me like it'd be a lot of work. Unless Carly thinks she can do it all tomorrow, I don't know. Basically, what the ultimate goal would be to, again, and I think I've seen the history is a list of all our roads and what status they are categorized under would be, and so whether they're assumed, summer maintenance, the description as brief as possible, not to confuse us all, and that's kind of what we go by, and then we look at it, and it's kind of, that gives us an idea when a group would come forward, because in a lot of cases, and I know one of the, getting the agreement with the roads group that they want to do a bit of work is a lot of our roads that we're slowly improving, there isn't really, they don't have a roads group. Like it's kind of rare in the township. Hey, what do we have? Only a few, handful maybe, of road groups, and that's just, you only have a few that aren't organized in all these roads, so.
That's why I think our road inventory, if I look at that, I think there are three or four different sections. It does break it down into the maintenance on those roads. So we do have a list of summer maintained roads. We have a list of fire routes. But they might change over time, too. That's why it has to be updated on a regular basis. probably doesn't change an awful lot to last a while.
No, was this, I guess a lot of this was requested, or just to clarify for staff, you know, with a group saying, well, we want to eventually get this plow in on a road kind of thing. Is that kind of, you want to know the legality of it kind of thing?
Yes, and then the question every year when the winter maintenance resolution is before council is, can council just not continue maintenance anymore? I think that was one of the bigger legal questions that we want answered, because the solicitor had noted a duty of care, and we didn't know if, because we've been winter maintaining these roads since 2009, if we had a duty of care to continue that into the future. So that's just something staff wanted to confirm.
Yeah, well, my opinion as a member of council, and maybe probably not everybody feels this way, but if we're presently plowing a road and if all of a sudden there was no residents on the road, I could see, okay, well, we're not going to bother, but if there's residents on that road and all of a sudden we stop, I'd be more concerned about the liability than us continuing doing it with these possibilities of liability threats. Kind of thing, but if we ever stopped while there was residents living in there and something happened where an emergency vehicle couldn't get in the next winter or something like that, if it was a relative mine, I would want to sue the township. So if it's a case of whether we're going to stop plowing a road while there's residents living in there, I think you'd want a legal opinion on that.
It was interesting to note too, our building department has had people for decades sign a document to acknowledge that they are building a seasonal cottage or a seasonal hunt camp and not a year-round road. Mm-hmm. So they're legally acknowledging that they may not get plowing in the winter or access to emergency services. So that was something that we learned over the course of this exercise as well.
Right. It saves the township possibly if we want to back off on a road at some point. Kind of thing, or Bill just flat out saying, no, we're not plowing, starting to plow that road because it was only meant to be seasonal. So it's a good idea on the township's part, kind of thing. But
yeah, I think it's interesting for them to hear from the solicitor that the resolution holds firm, that because those clauses were in there, we are not obligated to continue that year after year, even though we've been doing it for years. So.
That's
right.
Yeah.
You wouldn't necessarily want to do it.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
But, whoa, if it was ever reversed,
Just
as a person, as a human being, I would really feel bad if we said we're not going to plow that road anymore and some resident was found frozen to death on the side of the road next winter because it wasn't plowed or they hired a contractor who wasn't reliable. So that's just a comment I'm making. So that's
yeah, but as I say, the clause was, or the resolution was worded in such a fashion that I think that would reduce our liability. We're hearing that from the solicitor already. Councillor Zula?
I was just glad to see that clause in there for the fact of the Fox Farm, how we're extending it. So, like, if it didn't work out for this winter, like, we're doing it for this winter, but it's written in there, say, if it didn't work out, that we wouldn't have to do it the next year. Not saying that we wouldn't, but it's in there.
Yeah.
You know, say if it didn't work out and it caused problems, there was accidents or whatever, like they're saying, and we didn't think it was a good idea to continue it, that at least the wording is in there to do it.
Yeah, and I think that's wonderful, but I still think there's more of a possibility of the township being liable for a lawsuit.
Well, I can see Morley, like a lot of the other roads, what you've done them for 5-6 years, and then all of a sudden you say, no, you're not going to do it anymore. But one that you're first starting out with?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know where you'd
say. In case you find the equipment just isn't navigating
it.
So I think it is a good idea for the first year or two, whatever a council decides. But
I know.
Yeah. You try to do what's
best.
Yeah. But does council, like, are we going to proceed in such a way as to get a list of all our questionable roads that are somewhat unassumed kind of thing? Is that a possibility? Is that a lot of work currently going forward?
Like, we do have a list, as Mayor Moore said, about all the roads and how they're maintained. I don't know if you want to provide direction to the public works superintendent to, like, flag roads that they're having troubles on an annual basis for, like from an equipment standpoint, where inadequate turnarounds are. We can provide that.
It probably wouldn't hurt because turnarounds always seem to be a big thing, and whether you talk to the residents and they're, if they're an organized and they put money into a road each year, we could send them a letter saying, please put some of that money to a turnaround. You know, if we're going in and plowing it in the wintertime.
I think,
you know,
some of the issues too lie with property boundaries. Some don't, there isn't enough land to make an adequate turnaround as well.
I wish some luck on straightening that out.
Yeah, and I think some of the reports mentioned that, like, that we do back out a lot of places because we can't turn around, so I think there are some concerns, but we can have those brought up.
Yeah, I think that would be a goal for us, you know, to slowly continue to make sure we can successfully winter maintain the roads we are presently, and just gradually keep improving.
Councillor Keck?
Is that what, so when they're, or I guess it's sort of assumed for summer maintenance, so is that what that's saying? Is that, you know, these roads that are assumed for summer maintenance, that it's the responsibility of the township to bring them up to that certain standard that we have in the roads policy, because that's what we would expect of someone who would want the township to assume an unassumed road? Is there an obligation for the township to bring it up to that standard?
Yeah.
When the township has said that we are assuming this road for summer maintenance?
Yeah, the turnaround wouldn't be as important, I don't think, for the summer maintenance, but I think it's about, they do talk about that too, that the road 6, or standard 6, and that we should have that for, even though you don't need that necessarily for the summer maintenance, it's probably a good idea to work towards that for all of these roads. So that if you do go to the winter maintenance, it makes sense, you've met the requirements. But whether the township should be doing that on the summer maintained roads, fixing them up regularly so that it's just a very small step to go into regular year-round maintenance of it. That's the thing we have to do. We're doing it by resolution now, covering a lot of the summer maintained. Like Fox Farm, that's a summer maintained, the entire road. The question is, you know, does the township want to turn that into a year-round maintained road? What do they have to do to the condition of Fox Farm Road to make sure that it meets the standard 6 that's in the bylaw? And there's still a lot of work to do. I think the problem comes with the public looking at which roads, and that's why I say it's important to look at our history and what we've done here and certain councils. They would argue that some of the roads that they're on and accessing are in better shape than some of the roads that are maintained year-round right now. And how did that happen, that those are maintained year-round and didn't meet the standard, or maybe it's deteriorated over the years, hasn't been kept up, and that theirs is in a situation where, you know, it's better than some of the other traveled roads. And those are questions we have to answer. But that's why you have to do the research and what decisions that previous councils made. Some of them extended, as I said, because other people were living in there year-round, as Councillor Haskin said. And I think one example of back in Brownlee Road, if you go through the resolutions, the township even purchased property from private landowners to get more width, to turn it into a better road, and that might be involved in a, if you've got the property, Carly said some of it we don't, but where you can actually put public money into helping with the turnaround. That's something we may have to start considering. I'd be interested to know, and this is what I want, good to have the public works superintendent here, he could do a bit of research beforehand. I think as Carly said, certain ones we're maybe having trouble with, to see where they plow now, where they turn. I had pictures from years ago, but things have changed, and I don't know exactly where they're turning now, whether they're turning in driveways, whether it's all public property, whether they're backing out. we tried to resolve some of these backing out situations by making a turnaround. I used the one on Camp Magella from Magellan as an example, because they were backing out of there the whole time, often running off the road. So, but that was all the township road allowance, so that was township money that was put into that for the turnaround down at the end. That was much easier, just go down and turn around. And the people in that area weren't required to pay any extra money to have that done. So, anyway, Councilor Kiger.
This sounds like a very expensive exercise.
Oh, yeah.
You know, particularly in these roads that are just summer maintained, if that basically says the township has assumed these roads and there's an expectation that they have the certain grades that they're talking about, so you don't get these blind tops of hills where the corners are, or the road is too narrow, as you know, these warning signs that they say should be put in place, then I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done, you know, currently, you know, just to get any of those to condition that there isn't as you know, we mitigate some of the liability. So.
Yeah. No, I agree. And if you look through the inventory, which I guess we can probably have at the next meeting, there aren't that many just summer maintained. The question we have with those, were they assumed as summer maintained and when? They were certainly never assumed as year-round maintenance, because they never were maintained year-round. Sometimes they were closed off altogether. And I don't know whether people lived in there year-round or not when that happened, but they just came out with a club and said, we're not plowing that road anymore. So, but it's a limited number for summer maintained. I think the other one that's creating more of a problem right now are what we're calling the unassumed. With summer maintained, we're working under the understanding that they were assumed at some point. The lawyer says make sure of that. With the unassumed, we know that they're unassumed, because it was never assumed what through the developer, what the developer put in there. So it's a little different situation. We may be in a situation where we're gradually reducing them, but as I say, the summer maintained, they might be a little longer, but as far as numbers, I don't think there are a great number of them. And some of them were a question, of course. The one that comes to mind is McCord's Road. That always had a sign at the start to summer maintain, even though it was proven that that was part of a decision as part of the colonization back in Dickinson. And they mentioned another road at the time, too, that they were putting in. And it seems to jive with McCord's Road, the description of it. And that was a problem, of course, too. Often it was left to the people at the time. They turned it over to the mayor or the reeve at the time, or a counselor who lived in a certain area and says, okay, put a road in there, make sure it happens. And we're not sure whether, you know, it was ever done under proper bylaws. As you said, prior to a certain date, it wasn't required. They just started doing it. And especially important if people lived down a certain road and they started to put public money into it, the people living on there had to do statute labor. They had to do some kind of maintenance on it themselves, and that helped to pay their taxes on that road. So it was quite a history. Even Rusty Russell, who started the company there, I think, that Jennifer Bigger works for, he was really big on making the distinction with roads. And he said it is chaotic what's happened in the past and what we have now. So it's very difficult for us to straighten it. But we'll certainly do the best we can. And I think having Tom explain to us what he's doing now on certain roads will be helpful. I think we can do that even if we don't do a road trip. Although, I mean, that's been mentioned a few times. I think it's important to have him come in and do a report of some sort. Are we running out of time on our...
No, I didn't know if council would... just throwing an idea out there, the township crew does a dry run of their routes, fly routes in the fall prior to snow falling. Didn't know if council, a few members, were
well, you know, I'd like to see
able to ride
along. Along with that, now you don't want to start identifying people to make sure that the road's clear, sort of thing, but a dash cam, even that would be useful to look at certain roads, mm-hmm. to have that available to us through movie format, so that we could just, rather than actually going out on the road and just just say, okay, where do you turn here? And I'll take us to the end of turn. I went so far as to purchase one. I just haven't got out to try it on the road yet, but I think the township crew could do that. They're out there regularly.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think that would help us. Anyway, we're receiving this for information purposes. We've already had the resolution for Fox Farm. That was the one that came up. So I think going forward, we can certainly do some more work in this area. But it is hard to trace, even with the subdivisions, the history of them. Some of them were never assumed because they didn't meet the requirements at the time the council wanted, or MTO, they were often in charge with their standards. And if it never met that standard, never assumed. That's why we're stuck with it. Anything else on those reports? Call the question, all those bear. None opposed, carried. On to 19.1. Resolution 25-455, moved by Councillor Ryan, seconded by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the Aquatic Environment Report for Lake Manitowoc 2025 from Generations Effect. Discussion? I'm not sure what the cost was of this, but we probably have it somewhere. Again, and it's good to do, I noticed throughout, and it does get a little repetitious. Some of the pages are repeated even, as they break it down into different reports. It's good to see. But it was interesting to hear they talk about doing it annually. Of course, that's more money for certain people to do that. It's good to keep track. I remember one of the... I think it was the chair of the Lake Environment Committee had talked about the benthic study, for instance, maybe shouldn't be done every year. They're recommending that it be done, and I don't think that's a cheap one. So I think we have to decide, too. We take the best advice of these people, but keeping in mind that they may have a benefit to producing this as well. I know MLCA is involved. Their name's mentioned here. I'm not sure how the cost breakdown is. I guess the question is it something that we continue to do annually because of the importance of the lake? Or is it something that we can, you know, certain studies that we can let go for a year or two? There's one that I came across here I thought was rather important. I'm trying to think of her name who did the study. This is from years back, I think. It's on page 24. Beth Clark, it says. Mm-hmm. And the conclusions that she drew from that, she made some recommendations after that, but the conclusions didn't look that bad over all of those years. Like, we hear complaints of the watershed and the different things, but and the septics and things like that, but overall, talks about the phosphorus level, algae blooms. She even said it, when Manitowoc Lake is not expected to support algal blooms. Mm. The conclusions that she's making with her background is rather, it's good to hear.
Yeah, I read that too, and I thought that was a pleasant surprise. You know, that's, you know, because you always hear, oh, we're overdeveloped and our lakes are polluted, and you know, kind of thing. But overall, the report was wonderful, and really, that big spring runoff really flushes everything out real good.
It was interesting, too, that they could do one study just from one spot of the lake, even though there are different bays and different shallows. They thought that would be representative. They want to keep certain areas where they still do the testing, but I don't know all the science behind this, but I'm just surprised a little bit, I guess, that they don't go back to 2020, even though they hear reports from M&R and going back quite a few years. We had all this done on Manitowoc and some of the other lakes for our study back in, what was it, 9-10, by Mikulski and Nielsen.
Yeah.
They did a lot of these different levels as well, and those reports, I mentioned it to Jennifer at one point, but I don't know whether we have them on record here or not. I think it would be worthwhile to put them in here. So that gives us another piece of information from, you know, 15 years ago, and I think it would be worthwhile for them to access that.
I have it somewhere. because I
Great.
Yeah, no, I gotta find it though.
Oh.
Because I remember I highlighted that part to show Jennifer.
Yeah.
Where they were saying about Manitowabi. And what is that word they call it? The water is
mesotrophic or
yeah, or something like that.
They have three different levels there, yeah.
Yeah. No, tannins?
Tannins,
yeah, something
yeah.
like that. But I have it at home somewhere. I'll find it.
Okay. We'll expect that shortly.
Yeah.
But yeah, the in-depth studies, and that was all part of the, well, actually, there was some kind of a, I don't think of the name of it, interim control bylaw, an ICB that was put in place back in the,
Yeah.
Anyway, well, the studies were done on all of them.
Yeah.
And so that study, I think, was fairly in-depth and with some interesting. And a big part of that was the golf course at the time. It was just developing. And
was that for the golf course, or was that for the one that they wanted to put on the timeshare?
Yeah,
it was a timeshare. That's a, yeah,
yeah,
Y Ridge Development is
yeah.
why it was done.
Yeah.
But certainly the golf course was done separately as
yeah.
part of it. Yeah, so those records are there somewhere. Find those, and they might find them useful. Okay, any further discussion of the report? Does MLCA get a copy of that too then?
Yes.
Soon. Okay. Call a question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 19.2. Resolution 25-456, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the West Prairie Sound OPP Detachment Board's 2025 budget, adopted on June 26, 2025, and further direct the Treasurer to pay the levy in the amount of $3,464.13. Discussion? Councillor Kekkonen wants to speak. It looks like everybody's paying the same amount.
That's correct. That's the... That's the way it's written in the legislation, that the municipalities each pay, and the any First Nations that are in the board, it's all divided equally among the members.
So is the province mentioned there too yet, or have they put two people in place?
I see it is accounted for in the proposed budget, but no, there is, and in fact, the municipalities have not even chosen the two public members yet.
Okay.
And there was such a big rush that we formed this advisory committee to recommend the public appointees to the board, because the councils wouldn't be able to decide on their own, and here we are still waiting almost a year later.
But you're still operating in
Oh, yeah.
functioning.
Yes, and that was the big concern, the big push, was that, oh, in case we don't have a quorum, well, there hasn't been that problem, so.
And still run through McGoogle?
No, so it's Carling that has
Carling now.
Taken over the administration.
Okay. Further questions on that? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, Jared? To 19.3. And resolution 25-457, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Ryland. Whereas parents from Prairie Sound have expressed concerns regarding ongoing delays and lack of transparency in the completion of the new JK-12 school project, and whereas communications to the Minister of Education, Paul Calandra, and the Deputy Minister have yielded no clear timelines or responses regarding this critical educational infrastructure project, and whereas statements received from Superintendent Tim Graves have failed to provide satisfactory clarity or confirm steps toward project completion, and whereas these ongoing delays are a cause for a significant anxiety and uncertainty among parents, students, and staff regarding their learning environment, therefore be it resolved that Council of the Corporation, I guess we should add Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar.
Mm-hmm.
council of the corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby engages the Near North District School Board, NNDSB, and the Minister of Education to urgently provide a precise timeline for the completion and occupancy of the new JK-12 school. And further, be it further resolved that this resolution be forwarded to all municipalities within Westbury Sound, urging a unified effort to amplify our demand for transparency and accountability, reinforcing the priority of student safety and educational planning. Discussion?
Not.
Councilor Zulak.
And last, be it further resolved, right? Is that a spelling mistake? Urging a
United.
United.
I
thought
you
said
unified. Did I say unified? Sorry.
Yeah, so then I was looking at saying that. United. Okay.
I meant to say United.
All right.
Sorry. Any further discussion?
Well, I did attend that a meeting with the heads of council, and
okay. Now, if you're getting into governance, I'll have to declare a conflict. If you're just going to deal with this resolution, that's fine.
It's sort of, it has to do with this resolution.
Okay.
Because that's specifically what this resolution is about. Exactly what was discussed at that meeting with the heads of council. And basically the parents not only are beyond upset with how things have not progressed as they should have, and you know, this is a 10-year disaster in the making, that even when it is complete, the courses or the programming that was previously provided for students, it doesn't even exist anymore. So it's, if the 10-year plan is this disaster, which is now is, you know, hopefully coming to a completion, you know, by December at one time, someone had said, so what does the next 10 years look like? There still isn't the programming and the resources that the students really need to have a good education. So,
especially graduating high school students, right?
Yeah.
In grade 12, this is just a disaster of epic proportions for them.
And courses that they were expecting to be able to have to be able to, you know, proceed in a certain field, it's not available. Like, you know, it's just, it's unbelievable that you would expect, you know, education to progress and provide more opportunities as time goes by, and not less opportunities, and it's just unbelievable. And so one of the things that I think was in a newspaper article as well was that when the Perry Sound School Board merged with the North Bay and then it became the Near North,
yeah.
People lost, you know, our area lost their voices. And so, you know, there was, like I said, a newspaper article that said, you know, that's one of the things we have to start trying to push for again, is that the West Perry Sound area has its own school board again, so that, you know, we have some say in the discussions.
Now he has to talk governance. I think you're going to. Any further discussion on this? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. To 20.1, resolution 25-458, moved by Councillor Haskell, second by Councillor Zulak, whereas the first phase of the Herdville Road reconstruction and resurfacing project is nearing completion, and whereas phase two of the reconstruction is scheduled for completion by the end of 2026, and whereas this project is an approved capital initiative spanning two budget years, 2025-2026, for which the township has secured a debenture and currently holds the necessary funds. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby directs Bob Hughes of RHH Engineering to undertake the required field work for the remainder of Herdville Road and prepare the necessary tender documents for the reconstruction and asphalt paving consistent with the specifications of Phase 1, and further that the tenders be issued over the winter of 2025-2026 and close early in 2026 to enable construction to commence as soon as conditions permit, ensuring timely completion of the project. Discussion. I was happy to see that. I noticed, I don't know who put that together, but certainly that's now what we'll have to do, of course, as part of that is ensure that RHH Engineering has some kind of an agreement. There will be a cost. So I'm almost thinking, do we need a rider? I don't know what his work schedule is, that if he can't. can't do it, then we're going to have somebody who can do it, but I'm hoping he can do it. We mentioned before that we wanted to get all that in place and try to do it this fall, I think, but get the tenders out. Councilor Kekkonen?
It looks like by the markings on the pavement that someone has been undertaking some type of engineering study. No?
It's been the public.
Uh-oh.
The public?
I heard it's not good wording. I haven't stopped and read it, but somebody said something to me about it. It's not nice.
Yeah. It's just plain, ignorant in every sense of that word, but anyhow, so.
Basically saying you did that part of it, you know, and now you're leaving this one kind of thing. This is what I heard. I didn't stop and read it, but kind of interesting. But as far as this resolution goes, nice resolution, but do we actually say the end of 2026, or should we be saying mid-2026?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just that this is what's happened. It's probably why the wording is the way it is. I'm not sure. But that it is the end of 2025, but you're right. Sooner the better. So it doesn't necessarily have to say the end of 2025.
All we can do is get Bob would comment on saying, well, no, that's not possible. That's the worst scenario for us. No, it will be like this year. October kind of thing, but I think we should see if we can get his construction dates lined up earlier than October next year for this project. Now, I know Bob would have to get his work. We'd have to try to get the tenders out as soon as possible, like by March, kind of, in a way, to try to get these companies scheduled in. And we were scheduled in for the paving sooner than it happened. And unfortunately, the public were asking me, well, when's it going to be paved? And they didn't find the humor anymore when I was saying 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, we're very fortunate they're doing it now. Who knows? With a little bit of bad luck and bad weather, it might have been pushed right around to next year.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to risk that again this coming year. So, I think.
Well, there's two things in here. It says phase two. Scheduled for completion by the end of 2026, and then at the very end it said commence as soon as conditions permit, ensuring timely completion of the project. So maybe they're contradictory, is it?
Yeah, I don't know. It probably doesn't make any difference, but if you want to change that to mid instead of end, and then we just have to try to get Bob to get the engineering portion done and prep the tenders as soon as possible. What was the date? There was a date for that. That was early in 2026, was it?
Have that. Didn't actually say a month, but
yeah.
But well, it's certainly simple to change by the end of 2026, by mid 2026. I mean, if that's
make any difference, but it's something. Like obviously, when we're talking to Bob, and he says, "Well, yeah, don't worry, we'll get it done by October next year." It's like the resolution. Doesn't it align?
Okay, so
or is it just a big waste of
making an amendment?
Talk.
Councilor Zumeyer, do you have one?
I just was wondering, Carly, did you do the motion?
I did.
So did you talk to Bob at all previously, like about a time frame? Is that why you've got that in there?
I put end of 2026 because plans change. We were hoping to have the reconstruction portion or the blasting and the ditching done, or the culverts done by the end of this year. That obviously didn't happen. So Bob is just needing some further push.
So you've spoken with him about different things?
Yes, so obviously staff, and I hope Bob would want to see this done very early in 2026, but I just can't guarantee that, so that's why we put the rider on for end of 2026, but we don't want to come into the situation again where we're end of October and waiting for paving.
Yeah.
I think we set our goals sooner, and if we get let down, you know, surely they're not going to let us down right around into 2027. Well, look at the school situation. It could easily happen. I think we're very fortunate that we got this done, really, how busy everything is.
Further discussion? One amendment, which we'll vote on. The amendment is the second whereas. Scheduled for completion, it used to say by the end of 2026, and now it says by mid-2026. That's the amendment, so we'll call for the vote on that one. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. And now the resolution as amended. Call for the question. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Well worth the resolution, though. One amendment's not bad. On to 21.1. Resolution 25-459, moved to Councillor Ryland, second to Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby give bylaw number 2025-55. In the bylaw, authorize the mayor and clerk to sign an agreement of purchase and sale. Now, is that Berger or Berger? Is it
Berger?
With a G, hard G, okay. Berger donation, lands for St. Stephen's Church parking area. First and second reading. Further give a third reading and pass an open council this 21st day of October 2025. Discussion? Now you've all had a chance. Carly sent that out to us, I think, the agreement of purchase and sale.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different, but the solicitor certainly has gone through it to set it up, but it'll work well. Had any questions about it. And time is of the essence, obviously, that's happening with the transaction.
So there was one outstanding point with MPAC not having an opportunity to go and reassess the property.
Correct.
So is the opinion that we have on the value of the property that is going to be sufficient for what we need to do at this point in time?
So the agreement of purchase and sale determines the amount of the charitable tax donation receipt at a later date once we receive that valuation from MPAC, because we need that in the event that the donation receipt was audited by the CRA. They're going to look at MPAC's value and not a realtor's opinion.
So is MPAC getting some correspondence saying get this done as ASAP?
Oh yes.
Regularly?
Very much so, because
okay.
They take a long time to do anything, and this was is of the essence, and they were very well aware of that, and they were not moving quickly. I think the one trouble with this property is it's a portion of a parcel, so they have to do further investigation, but I have been in contact with them. It is on their radar, but I have not received a value.
Okay, thank you.
As long as the purchase or the vendor is agreeable that that's a value sort of to be established later, then that seemed to work out all right. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-460, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2025-37. The bylaw to authorize the execution of an agreement with Spectrum Telecom Group Limited, the first and second reading, and further give a third reading and pass an open council this 21st day of October 2025. Discussion? Maybe Carly can just give us an update too on the status of the tower.
So the tower is up. It is operational with the fire department. They have noted that it's crystal clear from the northern end of the township to the southern, east, and west. So they've seen a significant difference. Some volunteer firefighters that had to get away from their house if they were receiving a radio call because they were in a dead zone, they can get it in the basement. So it's a very much dramatic improvement, which is great. This agreement is coming back to the table now that the tower is operational. I wanted to get Council's opinion as to what else needs to be changed in the agreement so we can move forward with NetSpectrum. They're very much willing to work with us and excited to get their equipment on the tower so that they can provide internet services to the area. So we're just moving forward that way.
In the document, it mentions that it will provide internet service, including to fire hall number one. And I'm no expert on it, but I mean, that is a long ways away. And frankly, if that's true for that tower, then why isn't it that Bell and Rogers can do the same? Because they cannot. They don't have a tower that services the whole township at all. right? They have several that collectively look after the township, but they don't have one that covers all of McCullough. Matter of fact, people that are near the Rogers Tower on the south side of the lake tell me that it doesn't even work a few blocks away in some cases. And I don't have a, if it, I mean, do we want them to have internet that the fire station's in use? Of course, right? But my question really is this just pie in the sky, or is there some truth to this that somebody can check out? And the fact that the fire department can use it for their, I'm going to call it phones, I know they're not, but their devices, I think is a different issue than internet, that's all. Right? And I've seen a bunch of people responding to the fire department's post about the tower, asking about internet and things as if the fire department could give it to them. But it's just a misunderstanding. But I really have my doubts about internet reaching from the transfer station all the way over to 124, right, over to Fire Station 1. Right? But I'm not expecting you to have an answer other than if that's the expectation, I think we better find out from them that will actually work and provide good service to them.
I'm not sure, honestly, if they know until their infrastructure is on the tower what kind of reach they will get. Maybe they do know. I'm not an IT person that way.
Sure.
But they've agreed to it in the agreement now. In the event that they weren't able to provide internet to Station 1, then we can probably renegotiate. But I think the biggest place we are wanting internet is at the transfer station and at Fire Station 2.
Yeah. Yeah, those two make perfect sense to me, but it seems unlikely that it would reach Fire Station 1. But
and Fire Station 1 does currently have internet. We were just paying for it. This would be free internet, so just to reiterate that.
Yeah.
But
it's fairly important that maybe counselors' homes maybe have the access to it. No.
It's on record. We haven't voted on that.
You're a lawyer. Should we use names besides each of those drops?
Yeah.
So. Anyway, if it works that far away, that's great. But again, if the two big telcos in the area can't do it, I got my doubts about whether they can do it. So.
I know you'd get really good service on the ninth hole at the golf course. It's like right from the tee block, this tower just shot right up.
It isn't a complaint. It's just an observation that I think it's unlikely. So. But sure, if they give us a discount or give us another freebie some other way, then good.
It might be amazing because of the elevation of the land there, right? Props it up pretty high.
And so then they're only offering 25 megabits down and 5 megabits up. So they're not offering fiber optic speeds.
They probably know already that.
Nothing I think we need to follow up. If it doesn't work, we'll go back to them. So
I'm still a little concerned with, it's on page 5 of the miscellaneous 21A. Not that there'd be a problem with this, but the wording worries me. The licensee, upon paying rent, providing service specified as other compensation, shall have quiet possession of the site. The licensor, that's us, shall not cause or permit others to interfere with or impair the quality of the telecommunication services being rendered by the licensee from the site. In the event of such interference or impairment, and who determines that? I guess it's the licensee. Service quality shall be assessed by the licensor through a comparison of documented bandwidth levels before and after the incident. The licensee shall have 24-hour, 7-day-a-week access to the site, subject to the licensor's reasonable security requirements. What concerns me about that is that if somebody else comes in below, is on the third tier from the top, then and suddenly the licensee spectrum says, we're not getting the same width we used before, these people are interfering. What do we do about it? Are we stuck with that? But we have to guarantee that they can still, there'll be no impairment, no interference. How can we do that? I don't know if there's an answer.
I will say we don't have any other current telecommunications vendor wanting to get on the tower, so currently we're just working with NetSpectrum. With the province's broadband internet initiative, I don't know if there will be any more people wanting to get on the tower. NetSpectrum is kind of exclusive at the moment, not to say that there wouldn't be anyone in the future, but just currently we're just dealing with one vendor.
So if we were to have somebody wanting on in the future, we'd have to have a clause in place that if you interfere with the other business, then it's not allowed.
Yeah, I guess that's a, you could have put a clause in the other agreement, yeah. I just don't know who determines what's an impairment or interference.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I think it's a slim chance would ever happen anyways, yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, I had a number of concerns, but I'm agreeable to go along with this and get it going. And with the $40,000 that they're suggesting we'll get up front as soon as they're established. Now, I know that's tenuous. We have to keep it separate because it may go back at some point. What is it? They got 10 years? I think if anything happens, I think it was a 2-5-year thing, sort of thing. That
we'd have to keep it in a reserve account.
I would think we'd have to keep it.
Yeah,
it's available anyway.
Yeah.
So that it's like a trust fund, I guess, that the real estate holds on to the money while the transactions are taking place. I don't think we can go out and spend it anyway, because if suddenly the tower comes down or for some reason we say you can no longer use it, then they want the money back. So anyway, I don't think it's a major concern.
I have one question. Is that 21D that you were reading? I think it was. Because what I noticed in there is that...
21A, sorry.
Okay, so 21D, which covers largely the same issues.
Yeah.
And it says the tower shall be reserved for the highest position on the tower shall be reserved for the township's equipment. That's the only time in this document that we're using the word township to refer to us. Elsewhere it says the licensor. My opinion would be that because that's defined right in the very beginning of the document, it should not say township, it should say the licensor. Right? Because that's us. It's so defined at the beginning of the document. So
yeah, no, that's good. Hereafter referred to, so yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's anything, we're not talking about some other township, but you know, why here? I think it's just somebody was in a hurry and typed it quickly, that's all.
Yeah, good point.
I even went back and looked just to be sure, but I did have one other change, but I'll be darned if I can find it, so.
So any further discussion?
Item 14, sorry, there's a thing in there. It says, indoor and outdoor equipment shall be and remains the property of the licensee and must be removed by the licensee upon termination of the agreement. But it doesn't say how quickly, and frankly, they could drag their feet on this. I don't know if it's important, but I mean, we should say within X days, within 90 days or something, rather than, you know, whenever you feel like it, right? So, and I had, you know, I have some very minor points that are worth repeating, but I mean, I don't know if that's really important, but normally that's what you put in a contract, is all those kind of deals, so that it's clear what the expectation was.
Yeah, I get the feeling with this that it's a standard one from the company
that
they put out.
Yeah, and I don't blame them. I mean, if I was them, I would do the same. But I didn't want to make sure it was in my favor. But that doesn't mean on the other side of the fence I would agree with that. So,
any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. Unfinished business. Anything on that list? You want to update? Sure.
The arena lights were finished being installed today. So if you want to go have a look at some point, they're not the long lights that you're used to seeing. They're circular fixtures, and they are so much brighter.
Oh.
So, yeah, they got done today.
Good.
Beside Councillor Haskam is a sample of that temporary pickleball flooring surface that we were speaking about last meeting. The company said that you would be able to bounce basketballs on them and use them for other recreational activities other than roller skating or whatnot. But I just wanted to point that out so council can review the sample.
Yeah. At some point, will it be pricing?
$35,000.
To do the whole?
Yeah.
Is that right to the very edge of the boards kind of thing?
Yeah, I believe it was two courts.
Two courts. Yeah, just a little concern would be that if you stopped at some point where the person gets used to the traction on this, and then if you're stepping onto the smooth concrete, so you kind of want to come pretty close to the boards, just ahead of, but I know it's So we haven't made a decision to even do it yet. But
just pretend you're playing hockey and you've got to keep your head up.
So would this be all one piece? Is that manageable?
No, it's multiple pieces, and it's seamed together with a special double-sided tape. So it is something that the Public Works Department would have to put down in the spring and then take up in the fall off the ice season. So it's heavy. It's not something that you'd slip and slide around on. It's a very heavy mat.
So would it be okay for, like, if you wanted to have, like, for the fair, and you want to put exhibits and everything in there?
Yes. Just not some sport that you would need, like, a flat sort of concrete surface.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of what they would.
Well, I'm thinking, too, of do you still have the vaccines?
Yeah, I was thinking of that, too. Well,
Might be a little messy.
I'm checking.
And we are still speaking with the engineer on other options, but that's just one, but more to come on that.
Yeah, like David's saying, if we did go ahead with rabies vaccines and it was health in there.
I don't know, pet nails would scratch it, could
but
possibly.
But I'm thinking, you know,
sure.
If they go to the
washer. Oh, that too, yeah.
So you don't think that remote control cars or rollerblades would?
I can ask specifically about rollerblades. It was more about children playing on it and basketballs, but I can inquire.
Rollerblades and, you know, those little remote
RC
control
cars,
RC cars. Because at one time we did have somebody had a group with the RC cars, didn't they? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But possibly kids could go
you
there
never know
anytime and do that. And then some kids, I believe, take their hockey stick and puck over and shoot away, too.
Yeah.
Was that mentioned at all for this?
No.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's one of the options.
And it does clean up well, like from the pigeon
droppings.
Pigeons are being dealt with, so.
Yeah.
We just have to, And glass for the arena is ordered and shipped, so the panes will be replaced soon as the glass gets here.
Great. Looking up, right?
Should I wing it over?
No.
I won't. It went halfway through you, that's why I did it, so.
And the storage for that, too, that's the other thing.
Yeah. What's the length that comes in, do you know?
It would fill the arena. So, storage would be, we'd have to figure that out.
Mm. And then special equipment to move the arena, to roll it up and then to move the roll.
Yeah, so we'd have to calculate all that in too. But
it would have to have all of staff there, I think.
That would be quite a challenge for sure. Where are you going to store it if it's one solid piece?
Right? It's multiple.
Yeah.
Sorry?
It's multiple pieces.
Okay. But even so, they're pretty big pieces.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe they, like on a pool.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a thing that you can roll it.
I can get more information.
Are you also looking at the options of painting too?
Bob is looking more into that.
Okay.
Because we wanted to see if we can just paint the surface or if we need to do a bit of renovation to it first.
Yeah, because there's some existing cracks that I think were tempted to be filled up kind of thing, so they aren't real even, so you'd almost have to sand them, buffer them down level, and then it'd all have to be pre-sealed. I was Googling a bit, and there's a certain kind of paint that is specifically for pickleball courts. You can buy all the different colors that's required, but the preparation is very crucial to make sure your paint doesn't look chipping and blistering and all that. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see if Bob comes back with that, because then that would be, it's down there, that's dealt with, and you could always keep the paint for touching up, too, after. So, okay, we'll see how that materializes.
Yeah, and then to see how the paint stands up to ice on it all winter long.
It said it's for you can do ice and summer activities on this paint.
Wow.
Which there are some paints that are that good.
Like an epoxy type of paint then.
Yeah. And a non-slip surface apparently too. So. Yeah.
Wasn't it mentioned though at some point where Bob said that that cement flooring, it was special? Or underneath the cement floor or something? It was a... So that if it, in the future you wanted to put a refrigeration unit, did he not say something like that?
Yeah, you'd have to break out the concrete or and put it underneath with insulation, or you'd have to build it up and then lift the roof.
Hmm. That was from Bob?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he came over and looked.
Yeah, okay.
So one question, was anyone able to pick up a battery for the amplifier for the sound system?
Tom is working on it, and he has the date of the Remembrance Day ceremony as a deadline. It's a hard battery to find.
Wow.
And they don't ship batteries very often.
I think the one I have that fits in there that I've been using for the events, I think I just went into the automotive store and walked in, said, brought the old one with me, and walked out with a new one.
Okay, you may just have to try a different vendor then. Mm-hmm.
I was interested in the last point there, asset management report. Just a show of hands, I guess, who actually commented. I'd be interested to know for this report and made the changes, other than the Elliott Lake one.
Not me.
I know I sent it over fairly soon after, the next days or anything, with quite a few changes. I just wondered how many had submitted changes.
I didn't.
Make sure we get it updated from them. Whether we ever get it from them, I don't know. Okay, so the edits he's working on is just some limited edits.
Yes.
Okay.
And unfortunately, it was a PDF, so I am unable to make the changes, and we're just waiting
right.
on him.
Let's see. Have we got a new business? Councillor Ryland told us that he could instruct all of us right now. I think he remembers how everything goes and how it functions, right? So.
Well, I mean,
it's been a while.
It seems complex, but it's really not. It's just, there's very few options, really. So you need to get it, turn it on and fumble through, and if it doesn't work that way, then you try the other way. So, right, I didn't have any training on it. It was like, throw me to the wolves. Here, we're down a movie night, and you got to figure out how to do this. And I go, well, who's there? No one. Okay.
Well, it's fortunate that it's fairly cheap material. It's 100,000.
Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah, you don't really want people going in troubleshooting and
right.
trying to...
Trial and error
and unplug this and go downstairs and in the basement and plug a few other things in.
When I have done things like this in the past, I videotaped... or video, but with my phone, the instructions for the summer camp that I volunteer at, because I had to open and close the plumbing in a camp by myself, and it was like I just followed the director around and taped everything he told me, and it was invaluable because like 3 weeks later I had to do it, and that actually works because he knew how to do it, and I had a record of it so I could open up and go, now I'm at step 4, okay, I'm going to look and see what he said. Right, so I mean, we could do that, and like I said, even just with a smartphone, and it would then keep it on file. But right,
yeah. If council agrees to the motion that's coming to the table, then you're hired. You can do the videotaping.
I mean, if I'm around, I certainly would do that. So
no extra pay.
Remember otherwise. So, like anything, if you don't use it, you lose it. Right, you forget about it. But
no extra pay and full responsibility.
Yeah, right, sure. I had for movie night, trust me. So.
Okay, so it's a resolution. It's a direction. It's like, it didn't stick there, that should be resolution. So. It's cutting and pasting. Resolution 25-461. Moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Ryan. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby direct the Clerk Administrator or Designate to contact Michael Enterprises Audio and Visual, Barry Hunter, the original installers of the existing audio visual system in the Township of McKellar Community Center, to arrange an instructional meeting with the technical representative of the company and council and municipal staff with said meeting to include the attendance of interested representatives of the various local community organizations who utilize the facility from time to time. Discussion? So we just have to work on a date, I guess.
Yeah. It'll
probably be an afternoon, or well, it could be morning, I don't know, depending on the company. Okay, call the question. All those in favor? No, opposed? Carried.
I think the videotaping, as Nick is saying, is a great idea, and we should have somebody assigned to do the videotaping. Because not everybody's going to be able to show up. Not everybody's going to go crowd around, you know, kind of thing. So I think it's just a wonderful idea for those who can't attend.
Necessity is the mother of invention, I guarantee you, and that was for me in that other situation.
Yeah, because it could be next year that they decide, oh, we're going to try movie nights again, but nobody knows how to operate. How do we operate, kind of thing? Here's the videos. You know, watch it.
And if they do a good job videotaping that, then they can videotape the audio system that MLC Adrian has donated to the township, so that we all know how to operate that as well.
Has the township used it?
Apparently used it.
Yes. I just use it for the district municipal association meeting, and I had to panic call Steve this last meeting because I forgot how to use it.
Oh, yeah.
And we used it for Redfest too, and I say we, I don't, not the council, but just other people have used it for some other event recently too, but then again, I'm no expert on it. It's just, if this doesn't work, try the opposite.
And again, the videotape would be so wonderful. You just email it off to somebody, and they can watch it however many times it takes until it's memorized, you know, or jot down notes, so they have the notes when they...
Well, that could be that I told you I did with the summer camp and everything else. I still have it. Every once in a while, if somebody asks me, I say, well, I don't know, but I can send you the video and you can watch what I did. And it worked. So, because I had to turn on all the water systems and all the septic systems and everything else. And then at the end of the week, go and do the reverse and turn them all off in sequence, right? Which is another big deal. So,
don't want to be wrong.
Okay, any public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members.
I still have something under new business.
Oh, we moved on. Sorry. Go ahead. Here we go.
So I was wondering if, like tonight was a perfect example when we were having a lot of discussion about the public works, you know, on the roads and everything. So I was like to have a motion that maybe every 2 months that the public works superintendent comes to a council meeting, and you were saying I think he would like to have questions ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure we probably could do that, but I think there was a motion at one time
which is still on the books, which is never being rescinded.
Yeah, so I just want to have it done so that it's everybody's aware.
Mm-hmm.
And he's aware that, like, I think every two months is good.
Well, that should happen naturally in the next 2 months if we start having budget meetings, kind of thing, anyway. Like, I imagine we'll be seeing them.
Yeah. But
I know last year we had a budget meeting in November.
Yep.
Is that going to be in this? Are we going to do that again?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure Roche. Yeah, it'd be nice to know what councils, what projects we, you know, can start advancing on, I guess.
Well, we know already that you've been in with yours.
I've been mentioning
you got a good start on the list.
But there's a lot of questions that, you know, he could answer for us, and like the roads is most of our budget, and to know what's going on or what isn't going on, and, you know, where he's having problems or stuff like that.
Can you remind me of your time frame that you said? How many?
Maybe once every 2 months.
Once every 2 months?
Yeah. To a council meeting. Does that sound
one of the four
right?
meetings then, right?
Yeah.
One
Does that
four
seem, seem okay?
Sure. Yeah, I think so. I mean, we'll leave it. It's easy for me to say.
Like Roshan, he gives us his reports pretty well.
Yeah, he likes quarterly for some reason.
Yeah. So we're okay.
Now, could we, especially if there's not a closed session, could we like meet prior to the regular council meeting? Like at one time way back in the day, I think you would meet, you know, certain representatives from departments prior to the council meeting for half an hour or something, or should it be during
the
council
meeting?
Should
be public, I think, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's certainly better
Because
otherwise, you know, you could get accused of closed session. You're talking about things, even though you make it open, it's not the regular council meeting. So
yeah, I was just thinking more for timing rather than having to wait till 6:30, kind of thing, or even later if there's something else. It's
prior. Sure, staff would like to come in at 3 o'clock and stay at 10.
But you know how often we go through the agenda, and then usually we'll. You know, sometimes Curly can't answer some of our questions.
Yeah.
So if he was here, we could.
Yeah, forget to ask him to.
Yeah, until he leaves. So this doesn't just leave us that we can only ask those questions that we've prepared ahead of time?
It's just it's nice to be prepared when you're coming into a council meeting and not being, you know, it's kind of embarrassing if you're asked a question and you haven't been able to prepare for it. So just giving the public works superintendent that courtesy.
But I mean, if we asked him for
something, he
today
could say,
an
I could
update
find
on
out.
Bill Road. I mean,
I could find out and get back to you.
Question. That's not unreasonable, but he would know that. Right. I mean, I have no problem with prepared questions, but I think we should also be able to ask them for general updates about issues of importance of the day, right? Kirk Bill Road being a good example today, right?
So could I put in there...
general updates.
Yeah, could I put in there 2 months with council preparing questions and general updates?
Yeah.
Yes,
sure.
Council.
I mean, if we have a specific question,
and
I think it's a good
general
thing to
updates,
ask. But.
To answer questions ahead of time and general updates at the end.
At least we can read your writing. If I did it, we wouldn't. So.
Does that make sense?
Yes, that's fine.
Yeah.
He's a local. He'll understand.
And I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying, I'll get back to you. I don't know that. Or I can find out.
Okay, resolution 25-462, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Haskell. To resolve the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar, is hereby direct the Public Works Superintendent to attend a regular council meeting once every 2 months, with council preparing questions to answer ahead of time and general updates.
Is that all right?
Discussion? Councillor Kecken?
So, like one of those updates, and I thought it was added on here, was the section of Hardy's Road, the engineering for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was that not added on to the unfinished?
It should still be there. The engineering's not quite complete yet. We did contact the engineering firm this week, and they are still working on it. They've just completed our bridge and culvert study, so now they're working on the remainder of the engineering for Hardy's Road.
So, if I can, a question. So, that never came to council, did it, when they were... going to this engineering firm? They just went ahead and did it?
No, it came
it came to council?
Yeah, because we did the bridge and culvert study, correct? We did a request for a proposal, and council awarded the...
No, for Hardy's Road?
I have to double check.
Stuff like that should come to council.
I believe it did, though, because
I'm just saying, if it didn't...
Yeah, no. The discussion was that the current engineering firm we are using, he was overloaded with projects because we had a few going on at the time, and then we were trying out a different firm to hopefully get it done quicker. I don't know if that is the case that ended up happening, but I believe it was discussed.
It was discussed. I just don't remember a motion.
It was a long time ago, yeah.
It was a
while. I think so, but...
That's why I wouldn't remember.
Yeah.
I remember a discussion, whether there was a motion.
Could it easily be?
Memory's not that good, so.
Okay.
One more thing.
Did you read the motion already?
Yes.
Could you read all the words?
Yeah, the right words, I think.
So I just have one more thing. David, you talked for 20 minutes before.
It was on the agenda.
Well, this is under new business. I'm just curious, when you were talking, about the Remembrance Day. So is that being organized?
Yes. Megan is doing the Remembrance Day ceremonies, and she's already met with Kel Hill from the Legion.
Okay.
So it is moving forward, yes.
Just so we're not left at the end.
Yeah, she sent me an email at least a month ago, I think now, asking if I would be attending.
Okay, public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members, any committees? Can you ask Councilor Hassan?
Yeah, I'll just quickly say I have a recreation meeting on Thursday, and we'll be organizing the Halloween events on the weekend, kind of thing. And we also have the
Whispering River?
Whispering River.
No, Georgian Bay.
No,
yeah, Georgian Bay Winds performing here at the Community Center on October 28th or something like that, which I've attended. In fact, I'll be volunteering there at the door. But I've attended before. It's really well done. Local talent. It's great.
Sounds good. Anybody else? Okay, on to consent agenda. Resolution 25-463, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Ryan, be resolved the Council of Corporation Council of Colors hereby receive the consent agenda for correspondence. Is that the right number?
Yep.
Okay. Any discussion then? Anything you want to pull from that list?
I would like to comment that the town of Newmarket Automated Speed Enforcement have made some great suggestions on their letter, which make perfect sense. I just wanted to comment on it because I think it's unique. My wife got a ticket from one of the cameras in Barrie for doing roughly about 10 kilometers over, and her fine was $210. Because that's the thing, whereas if you got stopped by a cop for that same infraction, it's like $43. So in their letter, I think it's called Hilarious, they've got a whole bunch of standards that they're proposing in here that make sense, and restricting school zones instead of just putting it anywhere you can make money. I know that Barrie has been criticized. In Barrie, they raised $1.1 million from one camera, right? Which is just crazy, because then you get addicted to the revenue, so you can pay the bills like our roads, and you know, and for what? With really no guidance, no provincial standards at all, so I think they did that. I like the next one about the Township of Smith Falls. Her HER elect respect campaign is really interesting to me too, something that was unknown. And the last one, the Municipal Waterloo, again, all three of those are excellent, and I just love what's in there. So
yeah, I'm not sure with the speed whether you'll have the government make any change. They seem to be going full bore here on what they want. So.
But I think there's a lot of people that object to it because I've also read some horror stories about people getting caught like 30 and 40 times, right, with just outrageous fines, right, because there is no provincial standard. So whatever the township decided, you know, if you're going 2 kilometers over them, we're going to fine you like $5,000, you know. That's ridiculous. How does anybody get away with that?
Yeah. I don't think the province should be trying to ban it
totally.
It's just a little more control at where you're not getting blindsided by only being 10 over. You know, make it the same as the police. If you're 20 over or more, well, then be ready to pay it in school zones. So I think it's important for school zones.
Yeah.
And I think Mr. Ford is going to really regret it if he pulls into the school zones and some kid gets run over by a speeding vehicle.
Yeah.
It's right on his head as far as I'm concerned.
No, I think it was well-reasoned, well-presented, and understandable, and I think even people that would be subject to the fines would be going, yeah, well, at least there's some governance over this instead of none, right?
Yeah, just ease up on it, you know, a bit, and put a little more thought into it.
Yeah.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. We have the question comment period related to items on the agenda in public or online.
member of the Fox Farm Road Extension Association for your addition of Fox Farm Road to the winter maintenance for the 25-26 season. Thank you for that. I do have a couple of questions regarding the staff report admin 2025-19. A lot of discussion on that this evening. The resolution is to accept the report for information. So my question is, what happens next? There's key recommendations listed in the report that were provided by the solicitor and insurance agent, but there's no discussion on what any follow-up, if any, on those recommendations to be done by staff. The recommendation of the report just says that you take those into consideration next time you're reviewing those roads. But some of those are actions that your solicitor or insurance company are asking you to undertake or suggest to undertake. So my question is, how do those get followed up? Does staff take the initiative to do that, or do they need council to tell them to follow up on those recommendations? I know there were some during the discussion, and probably I know you're taking some notes, but there's nothing in the minutes that I will see that documents what is actually being done tomorrow on this.
I think the one thing that did say would be fairly soon anyways, the public works superintendent would talk about certain roads and the problem areas. He would come forward with that list. And you're right, there's no timeline, but we know that time is of the essence. We talked about videotaping some of the snow plowing or through the dash cam, those particular things. So we are taking some steps there and giving some direction. We will be giving direction to him. As far as some of the other things that the insurance company, those are things the council is going to have to look at, because we don't want to, destroy the environment by putting up all the signs that they're recommending. There's a corner up ahead. Well, most of the roads have corners, and then you have to put a sign up to let people know that. So, but those things we'll have to discuss in more detail, their recommendations. And they're suggesting a lot of those things, too, to mitigate the liability. I can understand that. We have discussed some of the things in the past, and I noticed some more signs going up. There's no end. How does he word that sign that's on there? It's not a through route sort of thing, and it's a no exit, I guess.
No exit, yeah.
And those are things that we're recommending, that they purchase these signs and then put those up. But as far as a detailed list from the insurance, I don't think we'll be acting on those right away with that long list. But there are some things in progress, if you're right. And as far as letting the public know, we don't always know, apparently, that, exactly what the staff is doing well. So it's not that we're, as far as the minutes go, I think you would understand that minutes are there just to explain what has been done at the meeting without comment. And so there could be another report on what the next steps are going to be or recommendations. Obviously from these companies, they're going to, recommend almost anything that's possible. And we have to decide what's feasible and what has been working, what should be improved, that sort of thing.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you for that. I would think that if a vendor, solicitor, insurance provides recommendations to the municipality, that you might consider explicitly stating why or why not you're not following them. If there's an issue around signage, as an example of one you used, does you not want to manage the risk of somebody saying, well, you were told you should have done this by your insurance agent and you didn't do anything, or there's no record of what actions the municipality took?
No, you have to be careful on how they worded it. They're not telling us to do it. They never have. These are recommendations. They're suggestions. Mm-hmm. They're not saying you have to do this.
No, they're not saying you have to, but the recommendations that
right.
You've paid to have someone provide to you.
Right.
Right? So I would think that if you do not want to take those recommendations, that your prerogative as a council.
Right.
Absolutely. With some justification around your accepting the risk. You don't think the cost benefit is worth, the risk that you're trying to manage. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, there's things in there that would help provide understanding by the taxpayers around treatment and equity, or equitable treatment around all class six roads, for example, and standards around those roads if they're not being treated fairly or signage or some done differently than others. So it's just a matter of really trying to understand, for me, what the next steps are, because what will drive council to look at these recommendations in 2 months, 3 months, because the staff's not doing it. You guys have a lot of other important work that you manage and move on to, and do the recommendations from this report get forgotten.
Yeah, no, they'll certainly be discussed and looked at. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, great, thank you. Anything else from anybody online? So we're on to 27.1. Resolution 25-464, moved by Councilor Zulak, seconded by Councilor Haskell. It resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar to hereby give bylaw number 2025-56, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council, the first and second reading, further give a third reading and pass an open Council this 21st day of October 2025. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Item 28, Resolution 25-465, moved by Councilor Ryland, seconded by Councilor Pekkanen. The result of the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby adjourned this meeting at
10:05
p.m. to meet again on Tuesday, November the 4th, 2025, or at the